So we had a series of kashas, and we found a teretz for each kasha, a teretz or two for each kasha. We saw this intriguing, dramatic Gemara and Gilma Beis, the Gemara Bahahu Arma, or the Nachri who had eaten Karm Pesach and sought to return, eat Karm Pesach yet again, in flagrant violation of the Psukim in Parshas Bo. That a Nachri cannot eat Karm Pesach, that an Aril cannot eat Karm Pesach, and Ma'od, he was bragging about it, so he would have been Beseir. So the way the Gemara describes how he would have been Beseir and snares him and traps him. I mean, a series of five kashas. How come they had never checked into this Nachri's bona fides before? Number two, how come the Nachri himself didn't know in advance about the Aliyah, that the tail of the Keves is a Murim? And number three, why was Yehuda ben Beseir not himself coming for Aliyah L'Regel and for Karban Pesach? And number four, why was the outcome capital punishment? And Rashi highlights that as soon as Yehuda ben Beseir had this conversation, he would have wanted, he understood right away that capital punishment was called for, but he was not equipped, empowered, authorized to carry it out. What's with the capital punishment? And finally, number five, the curiosity at the end of the Gemara, that there was a need for a coded message on the way back. You understand that Yehuda ben Beseir obviously had to send a coded message from Netzivan to Yerushalayim, ironically sent in the hands of this Nachri himself. But it's unclear why Yerushalayim had to respond to Netzivan with a coded message. Five kashas, and we had Teirutzim for each one. How come they didn't check his bona fides to begin with? How come he had Nemanus up front? Now we saw Tosfos two approaches. Our Gemara, Psachim Daf Gimel, indicates that he is Neman to say Yisrael Ani. Yivamas Menvav indicates not Neman. And Tosfos discusses which is the rule and which is the exception. Is our Gemara the exception? Is the rule that in the lack of any prior evidence, you do need to prove your status as Yehudi, and our Gemara is exceptional because there's a rov? Or no, minastam your neman to say Yisrael ani, and the Gemara Yevamos is an exception because of the chezkas nachri. Okay. And then number two, how come the nachri didn't know that the aliyah is emurim? So he suggested it's number one, Hagufa, he had not learned Chumash, he just sort of was watching what people did. So this may not have been so obvious, particularly since, as Tosfos reminds us, we differentiate lahalacha between keves and gedi. So if it's a sheep, the aliyah is emurim, but if it's a gedi, the aliyah is basar. So it could be particularly confusing. And number three, how come Yehuda ben Beseir himself did not come up to Yerushalayim? That we saw Tosfos, the Tosfos Rush raises more narrowly in terms of Aliyah L'Regel, and they give one answer, and that is there are many, many Jews, many categories of Jews who are patur from Aliyah L'Regel. Gemara later in our Perek in Pesachim says Mishain Lo Karka patur from Aliyah L'Regel, and the Mishnah the Chagiga Dav Beis is a long list of 15 or so categories of Jews who are patur from Aliyah L'Regel. Our Tosfos expanded the question beyond the Tosfos Rush. Not just how come he didn't come for Aliyah L'Regel, but how come he didn't come for Karban Pesach? That forced two things. An expansion of Teretz number one, and the addition of Teretz number two. The expansion of Teretz number one, which was difficult, we saw Tosfos said, Ein lo karka, or any zakim v'yachal l'hal, or al patur for some reason for Aliyah L'Regel, plus the added leap, that well, and since he's patur from Aliyah L'Regel, he's there for patur for Karban Pesach, which we noted is a difficult leap to make, because it clearly doesn't apply to women. Women are clearly patur from L'Regel and Chayav Karban Pesach. So one needs to figure out why would you assume that the other categories of Peturim from Aliyah L'Regel are patur from Karban Pesach as well. Okay, but that's the expanded Teretz number one of Tosfos. Teretz of Tosfos Rosh expanded to include Karban Pesach. And then they offer a second Teretz, which we had spent the last day or two on. And maybe because Netzivan is in Chutz La'aretz, that explains it. So we developed, spent time yesterday and the day before, that once you understand what Reish Shechter does, there are many dinim, seven dinim perhaps, of Eretz Yisrael. Specifically, as we saw, many, many dinim that are relevant, that are limited to Eretz Yisrael, they had nothing to do with Kedushin Saaretz. Not based on the Mishnah Kedushin Daf Lamed Vav, that the agricultural mitzvahs are limited to Eretz Yisrael because of Kedushin Saaretz. They saw one of the other very significant aspects of Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael is the Ikra Makam Sirif HaKlal, as a halachic national homeland, and the Mela mitzvah dinim that are Dine HaTzibur, Chomos HaTzibur, will often revolve around and be limited to application in Eretz Yisrael. And perhaps Tosa is suggesting that Karban Pesach does have a Tzibur aspect to it. So although a Jew from anywhere in the world is allowed to bring Karban Pesach, but Tosa is arguing only Jew lives in Eretz Yisrael is obligated to bring Karban Pesach. So if you don't have a Seiros Pater, okay. But again, both Terutzim have their difficulty. The first terrors to this third kasha, you have the difficulty of making the leap from Lila out of the Karban Pesach. And the second terrors, the Eretz Yisrael Chutzler terrors, it's appealing in that it fits into this overall clear global trend in halacha that there are many dinim, many dinei tzibur that limit Eretz Yisrael. But on the other hand, we don't have, where are there any other mekaros and shas for this particular din? That Toshav Chutzlar is Potter from Karban Pesach. So Tosus would say, okay, well, you have this Gemara. Okay. And then the fourth question, why was he Chayv Misa? So we saw two or three answers to that. The Sefer Achinuch, excuse me, the Minchas Chinuch, had pointed out that there's a machlokes between the smog on the one hand and the Sefer Achinuch on the other hand. Who is the muzhar? Who's the mitzuveh? The Isra of Anachri in Karban Pesach is that Rambam that Sefer Achinuch says it's the Isra laha'achil, means the Jew's Isra. A Jew's Isra is forbidden to provide Karban Pesach to the Anachri. But the Sefer Minchas Chinuch had a diuk in the smog says it's also lechel. I mean, it's a Nachri himself is us. Minchas Chinuch said, maybe according to the Smag, our Gemara is saying that the Nachri's crime was violating the Easter of a Nachri in Karban Pesach. And then the Minchas Chinuch goes on to say, if you're not going to say like the Smag, so you'll say it's Gezel. That's a clear violation of Shev Mitzvah, either Gezel Gavoa or Gezel Hedyot. And then finally, the fifth question was the... But those terutzim also should be noted. Those terutzim to our fourth kasha, those terutzim the Minchas Chinuch offers to how can use Chayiv Misa, they also are the first terutzim of the smag. So again, did the smag actually say it? And then the Minchas Chinuch has a leap that you should say as harasan zuhi misasan as a Chayiv Misa, which is certainly a chiddush, as the Minchas Chinuch himself points out. And again, to say it's gezel, we don't find that many cases practically of the Jewish Sanhedrin imposing a Chiyuv Misa, a Nachrim, for Gezel. It's not shver, but a little surprising. And certainly that was Rehudim Ben Becerra's initial thought. No doubt Rehudim Ben Becerra knew many Nachrim who violated Gezel. So that some of this one, he's, and Rashi says, oh, he would have, you know, given him a Chiyuv Misa right then and there, but it wasn't B'yadav. It feels like something is like a missing piece. And finally, the fifth question of Takasha, or curiosity, Tzarchi and Ktsas, the fact that the response from Yerushalayim to Netzivim was also with the riddle. So that too, when we got started with the Sugi, we had suggested a possible answer. I think at the time I didn't mention Amar Makam. I took a look this morning. If you want the detailed, the exact Amar Makam, it's Hilchas Talmud Torah in the Rambam, Perek Dalet Halacha Vav. Ah, convenient enough. The Rambam we looked at yesterday about Smicha, the Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Dalet Halachavav. So, no connection, but the same numbers, it helps you remember. Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Dalet Halachavav, is where the Rambam is talking about how Rebbeim are supposed to teach the proper behavior of a Rebbe and a Talmud and the Shir, out of the Shir, how you ask questions, asking questions on topic, off topic. This is all discussed in by Chazal. Rambam gathers it in Perek Dalet Hilchos Talmud Torah. So he mentions that it's appropriate for the Rebbeim to keep the Talmidim on their toes, among other things, with halachic riddles. Yesh l'rav l'hatas is Rambam t'hilchus Talmud Torah. Perek Dalet Halachavav. Yesh l'rav l'hatosis ha-talmidim b'shaylosav v'maisim sh'osav b'fneim k'dei l'chadadam. The Rebbe can on Bechinas, I try to avoid trick questions. The Rambam says, it's not inappropriate for Rebbe to have trick questions and see if he can throw the talmidim off and keep you on your toes. L'chadadam, to keep them sharp, to do something that looks aser, to the talmidim, that seems like it's against what we just learned, see the talmidim pick up. To test, to assess whether they remember or not. He says, oh, listen to this. The dangerous Rama for us, we're looking at, when we have a Bechina Lumin, the Rama says, Avada, it's totally fine for Rebbe to ask Talmidim on something that's not really on topic. So even if we said that Bechina would not be cumulative, apparently Rambam says it could still be cumulative anyways. I do not intend to take that liberty that the Rambam offers me. But the Rambam does say, to kedei l'chadadan, to have the riddle, halachic riddles, to keep Talmidim sharp, to keep them on, you know, on their toes. And the Kesef Mishnah says, b'kam makom es b'gemara. He points out many places in Shas, v'rabba l'chadudi da labayhu da'avad. Rabbah was did it to l'chadei des habayit, to keep up by Yisham. So you could say that that's what's going on here as well. That this is the derech hachachamim we spoke about. Derech kitzara, l'chadude, okay, perhaps. But there is, as I mentioned from the very get-go, when we first started learning this Gemara, the Maharaz Chai has a different, I mentioned the Maharaz Chai has a yisod, a shas yisod, rooted in many Gemaras, including several Gemaras in Masachas Pesachim. It's a radical halachic and historical yisod, which among other things will answer almost all of our kashas on our sukkim. And if you have a Gemara in front of you, turn please to Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph in Masachas Pesachim. Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. The opening mishnah of the seventh parak of Pesachim. Ketzat Tzolin, Sa Pesach Mish wants to know. You have the part of the halachas of the Karban Pesach, the part of the process of Karban Pesach happens in the Beis HaMikdash, and prior it happens at home. And you have the Hakrava, the Avodas HaKarban, happens in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechita, the Kabbalah Sadam, and so on and so forth. The Hakrava say Murim, but then you bring the rest of it home, and you have to roast it at home. As the Mishnah describes, and you roast it whole, more or less whole, and the whole sheep, it's already been somewhat butchered, but somewhat eviscerated, because you have to take out the Murim in Beis HaMikdash, and Murim were burnt on the Zbech. You bring home more or less a whole sheep, and the Talmud describes, put it on a spit. And you roast it over an open fire. The Tananam discuss what type of wood you use. You use pomegranate wood, because it's very low moisture. Gemara explains why that's important. And then the Mishnah has a debate. The Mishnah has a debate. Are you allowed to grill it? You ought to put it on a grate. Instead of putting it on a spit, can I have an askala? A metal grate, like what we have on top of our barbecue grills. Can you take it seems a little safer, you know, put an entire sheep on a stick. What if it falls over? Here, let's have a grate on top of the fire. I'll have an askala, as the Mishnah calls it. Is that legitimate? So the Mishnah says no. Tana Kama says no. Ain't solenest hapes in the middle. Again, Pesach Ma'idah Amaral. The Mishnah, top of Ma'idah Amaral. So halfway through the Mishnah, ain't at the little letter Gimel. Ain't solenest hapes lo shpur lo askala. Tana Kama says you cannot use an askala. You cannot use a shpud, mean a metal spit, and you cannot use a metal askala either. And the concern, the reason for Tana Kama is because the Torah says it has to be tzli'ish, pasuk in Parshas Bo. It has to be tzli'ish, it has to be roasted from the fire. So the Tana Kama says if you're going to put the Karban Pesach, the sheep or the goat, on metal, either a metal spit through it or a metal grate below it, so the part of the sheep that's directly in contact with the metal is going to get roasted from the metal, not from the general heat of the fire. because the metal conducts heat so well. The Tanakhama says you can't do that. Rabbi Tzadok says, Maisa Ram Gamliel, there was a story of Ram Gamliel, Sha'amrila Tevi Avda, who said to his servant, Tevi, Tsei Utsalelanu es HaPesach al HaAskalon. Rabbi Tzadok says, I remember Gamliel telling his Avid Kanani, Tevi, go roast the Karim Pesach on the Askalon, the great. So Rabbi Tzadok says, I disagree with the Tanakhama. You see, it is mutter, because the Tana Ram Gamliel did that. So an Askalon is appropriate. Right? A machlokes tanam in the Mishnah about the details of Hilchas Tzlias Karban Pesach. Why is this relevant to us? So Maariv Chaya says, there was more than one person named Rabban Gamliel. And we did the last week. We went through some of the intellectual family tree of the Tanam Nehemurah. So Hillel was a Nasi, and he was the last of the Zugos. He was a descendant of David HaMelech. And from Hillel on, the Nasius became hereditary. And it went to his son, and to his son, and to his son, all the way through to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who was a great-great-grandson, or so, of Hillel. And it went from Hillel to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Hillel's name was Hillel, and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's name was Yehuda. In between, there was a series of Shimons and Gamliels. It was Ram Gamliel, Hazaka. Then there was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Then there was the second Ram Gamliel. And then the second Shimon Gamliel. The second Rabbi Gamliel was the one who was a Nasi in Yavna after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, after the Churban Beis Sheni. The Maariv Chaya points out that the Rabban Gamliel who had an Eved named Tevi was the second Rabban Gamliel who was the Nasi in Yavna after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What's then surprising about this Mishnah? Well, why they have machlokas? Why is he having Karban Pesach? Karban Pesach? He lived in Yavna. He lived, there was no Beis HaMikdash. And then, the Maariv Chaya goes on to suggest that if you turn further, deeper into the Masechta, to Arvei Pesachim, to the part of Arvei Pesachim that I hope a number of guys have already begun to learn their own, the second half, the second half, the first half of Arvei Pesach we learned together, that was in Bikiyas, that was the sukkis of Kiddush Avdallah. From Kuf Chesanon, or the sukkis of the Leil HaSeder. You turn deep, deep into Arvei Pesachim, Dav Kuf Ches Zayin. One of the most famous Mishnayos in Shas. But it's one of the Mishnayos that's part of Magid. Rav Gamliel, I omer, kol shalom shalosh dvarim lePesach, yotzei ydei chavasa, eilu ein, Pesach, matzah, umarar. As I'm to explain, you have to explain each of the three chetzei mitzvah on the table. Rav Tzvi Yosef Chayes argues that Rav Gamliel is also Rav Gamliel of Yavne, who's living after destruction of Beis HaMikdash. Once again, why does he have a Karban Pesach on a Seder table if he lives after the Churban Bayis? And it gets worse. Once you leave Maseches Pesachim, and you have this tshuva from Maariv Chaya is in the end of the Maariv Makamos. This is Simon Beis in the Tshuvas Os Hei. See, near the top of the second column, he sends you to Gemara Nedarim. Listen to this Gemara Nedarim. Nedarim Chav Gimel Van Aleph. Masa Be'echad Shehidir Asishtim El Aos L'Regal. There's once a story, a Shaila came up. There was a husband and wife, and the husband was apparently upset that his wife was traveling to Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regal. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So what does he do? He imposes upon her a neder that she's not going to be ola regal. Ubalafrei Rabbi Yossi, they come to the Tana Rabbi Yossi, umatzah Pesach l'nedro, Rabbi Yossi was matu neder. Who's the Tana Rabbi Yossi? We spoke about last week when we did going back to that 11 doros in 17 minutes, the Tana Rabbi Yossi was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, who's from Rabbi Akiva's second set of Talmidim. This is a good 70, 80 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Remember, Rabbi Akiva had been the supporter of Bar Kochva in his revolt against the Romans almost 70 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Akiva's Talmud, Rabbi Yossi, is paskin in a shayla, not given a shir in the Beis Medrash. Masa. This is a shayla that came up. They came to Rabbi Yossi to ask, husband, wife, come to Rabbi Yossi. We have a neder. I'm not going to lila regel. Can we matter the neder? He says, yeah, be matter. What matter neder? Lila regel. The wrong century. The wrong century. His mission was destroyed decades ago. And then he goes on to quote another, a medrash in Koheles, that describes one of Rabbi Yossi's contemporaries from the same generation of Tamir Bekiva. Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua is taking a walk along the Mediterranean beach, and he hears that they start discussing that the Jewish people salkin l'rigli Yerushalayim, bin ola regli Yerushalayim. So Rav Chai says, what's going on? I don't understand. Rav Gamliel is eating Karban Pesach. He's having Tevi, his servant, grill the Karban Pesach. Rabbi Yossi is paskening Alila Regal Shilas, a neder, Alila Regal. Rav Lezer ben Shamur, Rabbi Yossi's contemporary, is witnessing Jews being Ola Regal. What's going on? What's going on? How do you make any sense of this? How do you make any? And he has more rice. He has more rice and more rice and more rice. And he suggests that the answer of Osai lies in a Mishnah in Adios. The second to last, I believe it's the second to last Mishnah. Adios. Adios, you know, is a fascinating Masechta. It's not about any one topic. Adios is a collect, is about every topic under the sun. Almost every topic in Shas is represented somewhere in Adios. It's not organized by topic, it's organized by time. It's all the Eduyos, all the testimonies, all the Masoros that were brought forth when the Gemara tells the story in Brachas, when they impeached Shlomo Gamliel, and Blazer ben Azariah took over the yeshiva in Yavne, and they opened it up to more people to join. So Tanam were coming from all over, and they shared traditions that they had, and those traditions became Maseches Adios. The Adios is, whoever says Chazay is like a tour of Shas. You got one mission about Mechala, the next mission is about Nida. It could bounce around from Masechta to Masechta, from Seder to Seder. It's very fascinating. If you have a plan to learn Shas Mishnayos, and you should, it's not necessarily unwise to save Adios for the end. Because at that point, you've already seen everything. But Adios also has some things that don't appear anywhere else in Shas. The beginning of Adios, there's a series of Mishnayos about how Mishnayos are written. Very, very fascinating. The Mishnayos and Adios in the first part discuss, how come Mishnayos quote both Shitos? Why not just quote the only Paschal line? How can we quote the Yachid and the Rabbin? Very fascinating answers. At the end of Adios, the Mishnah says, quotes from the Tanner of Yeshua, Makriven afa pisha ein bias. You're allowed to be makriv a korban even if there's no Beis HaMikdash. The kedushas makom does not disappear when the building disappears. Take a look. You don't have the Mishnayos Adios in front of you, but you do have the Maaretz Chayis in front of you. Right, the second last page of the Maaretz Chayis is the bottom of the first column. Makriven afa pisha ein bias. You can makriv karbanos even though there are no walls to the Azara. You can eat kachim kam Yerushalayim even though there's no wall to Yerushalayim. Is that the mission in Adios, which is called the Gemara Megillah, according to the Gemara in Zvachim? You know what he says? He says, I have a historical chiddush to tell you, says Maaretz Chayis. I have a historical chiddush to tell you. Newsflash. Not only is it mutter, according to the Mishnah Adios quoted in Megillah and Zvachim, to be makriv karbanos after the Churban Bayis, but historically, he says, Jews were actually doing this. Not in droves, But I showed you Rabbi Gamliel with his Avot Hevi and Rabbi Yossi and Moshe ben Shamua. And he has one more raya up his sleeve as well. I mean, he has a number of other rayas here. He says, I think that there was a after the Churban Bayis Sheni by the Romans, there was still a trickle of Jews who would, when they could, sneak on to Har HaBayis and be Makar Karbanos when the Romans weren't looking. Usually the Romans were looking, and we know from the Gemara, as we saw this earlier in the year, that the post about after the Churban Bayis, and particularly 70 years later, after the Bar Kokhba revolt, the Romans were gutting out against Shmiras HaMitzvahs. And that's the Asar HaRugei Malchus, and the religious persecution, the killing Jews for keeping mitzvahs. It was very dangerous. But there were Jews who were risking in order to sacrifice. They would sneak on, there were Jews who, when they could, would sneak on and under the noses of the Romans, bring a carbon on Malka Mitosh, and then quickly run off and eat the carbon elsewhere in Yerushalayim. And says, apparently it was happening. That's why someone comes over to the town of Yossi and says, you know, we want to go a biola regal, or are we stuck with that neder? He says, no, we came out to the neder. A century or so after the Churban Bayis. And in addition to his rise from Chazal, turn the page. I want to show you something fascinating. Turn the page. I'm sorry? Gewaldic. You see, the last paragraph in Simon Bey's. Gam no dalanu. Why should I tell it to you? Let the Maritz Chai speak for himself. In addition to all his rayas from Chazal, he also has a raya from Mada. He says, some of you who know your late classical history may have heard of the Justinian Code. One of the major legal codes of late antiquity. Several centuries after the Churban Bayis. Gam no delonu mi sofri ha'amim. Of a non-Jewish author, as we know, ki ha'kezer Justinian. Gazar al Yisrael shal yishchatu as ha'pesach v'yudal v'nisan. V'ha'over yiknos v'knas atzum. It was a severe crime, the Justinian Code, for a Jew to offer a Karban Pesach on the 14th of the month. Clearly a reference to Karban Pesach. V'hine l'chacham ha'charonim kos v'koros ha'itim ha'ya'in ha'gzer ha'lezul l'fel v'ayneim. He says, let's turn away for a moment from learning. Let's get involved in a kasha and mada. Historians have been stumped by this. Why is there an edict in the Justinian Code about Karban Pesach, which ceased centuries before? So the historians couldn't figure out. Memshel Sakezi Justinian. I said the era Chamesh Meyoshana. Justinian Code. That's centuries after Churban. Why are they severe penalties for those who bring Karban Pesach? What does this mean? Ula. He says we can be miyashav kashas in both Torah and Mada with the same usage. Lefiyah Mevur Lamayla. Achashar didn't ki kedusha rishona kitchel l'shaita kitchel aslov. The kedusha remains. Lo nimnu'u b'nei amenu v'hisnaheg b'derech ha'tanam. Apparently, what we see hints of in the Tanaim, that here and there were Jews who were bringing Karban Pesach, apparently it persisted for centuries. They'll be all the regel, they'll bring Karbanos, and especially the Karban Pesach. But asu zeus b'seiser, they hid. They were scared of the Romans. And particularly as Roman persecution became more and more severe, he speaks about the fact that they tried to assimilate the city, they changed the name to Ela Capitolina, and the Romans, Rahman al-Tzlan, introduced, as we know from Chazal and from external historical sources, the Romans were trying very hard to paganize the whole city of Yerushalayim. He says, Rabbi Sai, he says, Geshmak. That explains why there's a line in the Justinian Code. Because there were still Jewish rebels, quote-unquote, who were attempting to bring Karban Pesach on Har HaBayis, and the Romans were not happy. And he says, you know, the Rishon Arik are bothered. Who is this Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? He points out, the Maariv Chayes points out, Yehuda ben Beseira, he was a contemporary of turn back to the beginning. He raises a kasha at the beginning, by this Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. He points out Yehuda ben Beseira had interaction with Shmuel's father, the Amora Shmuel. Avuah de Shmuel had interaction with Ben Beseira. Avuah de Shmuel is a contemporary of Yehuda Hanasi. Says, who is this Yehuda ben Beseira? He's alive well over a century after Churban Bayis. Says the Maariv Chayes, everything falls into place. He said the answer to came out all of our kashas. We had the Rishon Acharon had been piecemeal answering terrors to this kasha, terrors to that kasha, terrors to this kasha. He says the sheer quality, one yisod will answer everything. He says the answer is Yehuda ben Beseira. This story happened achar Churban Habayis. This story happened when there was no longer a Beis HaMikdash. And that's Miyashin everything. Once you realize this is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira who had interactions with the Shmuel, there was no Beis HaMikdash. Bringing Karban Pesach was incredibly dangerous. Bringing Karban Pesach. L'achar HaChurban. So everything makes sense. Why didn't they check the bona fides of this Nachri who was presented himself under false pretenses? It was incredibly dangerous. Anyone who wanted to be a part of this underground Karban Pesach operation, obviously he was a Jew. Of course they didn't check. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira come himself to Karban Pesach? This wasn't the Chiyuv. And forget about it, he was an older man, it wasn't the Chayv on Lila Rega. He was an older man. This work had to be young and spry to run onto Harbais, run off of Harbais. This wasn't for Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. How come they gave? How come he was chayiv misa? Says Maariv Chayes, not technically chayiv misa for the crime of a nachshach al karban pesach, for the crime of gezel. He's chayiv misa because he was clearly a Roman spy who was going to turn them over to the authorities. He was a rodev. And finally, what had before been merely a curiosity, Maariv Chayes doesn't point this out. I think that closing kasha we had, why they send a coded response? We understand Yehuda ben Beseira sent the coded response to Yerushalayim, but why Yerushalayim respond to the coded response? Say it out. What are you scared of? They just, no, they were incredibly scared. They were sending this note back under the nose of the Romans also. So this note also had to, they said, you're an etziv in Rishta Chafusa Yerushalayim. Yehuda ben Beseira understood exactly what they were saying. But it would not have been safe to say anything any more than that. Yeah. Yeah, this group, the group of Jews who were sneaking on to Harbais to bring Karbais, obviously had to include Kohanim. Absolutely. Kohanim with big dehuna, they would run on, quickly be mapping Karbais and hope to escape their lives.
If they knew there was a spy, how would they bring
Karbais down and risk your life? That's exactly the problem. He had evaded detection. They had no idea there was a spy among them. That's what I'm going to say. Realize, come fall. This fellow is it's a security leak. That's exactly what I said. Maariv Chayes is Yesod. It's Miyash of all the kashas. Miyash of Tosis kasha about why they didn't check the bona fides. It's Miyash of Tosis kasha. How come Rabbi Yehuda himself didn't come? It's Miyash of Mechaz Chinas kasha. Why was he Chayiv Misa? And it explains Kimin Chomer beautifully why the response had to be encoded as well. I understand that. Right. Okay. Maariv Chayes is disagreeing. He's offering an alternative. Absolutely. Yeah. No one had ever caught him. No, we don't know how long he'd been doing it, but no one had ever caught him. Yehuda ben Beseira, he reveals himself to Yehuda ben Beseira, probably because Yehuda ben Beseira lived 500 miles away. So he figures there's no way that Yehuda ben Beseira can out me. B'chachmasa figured out how actually he's going to get the spy himself will give himself away. No, the only question that this terrorist does not speak to is why did he know about the Ali? Okay. But again, he was a trained spy. He wasn't necessarily trained in Hilchos Karei Pesach. So that will still need a separate terrorist. But I think everything, all the other pieces fall into place with this one you sold. Correct. It's an alternative to the Taisusin. It's an alternative to the Menchus Chinuch. The Taisusin and the Menchus Chinuch are clearly assuming that this was happening in Zman HaBayis. But Baruch Chaya says, if you assume this is happening La'achar Zman HaBayis, which fits with the time in Rehud Ben Beseir, something that we shown are already grappling with. So then, almost all the kashas fall into place, and you have a single teretz to all of this. And the coding is beautiful, is elegant on all ends, and it's an exceptional piece of this series of episodes about the power of language, the power of sensitivity and elegance in language, the way in which Chazal treasured elegance in language, the way in which Chazal were very effectively used elegant language.